Wing TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Wednesday, March 30th, day 18 of 9/11 on trial. I'm Lisa Giuliani and you're watching Wing TV.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. To start things off today, I want to read an email that we got yesterday that touched our hearts very, very much. It comes from a woman named Sonia E. And she says, they can shut down your website. We made copies. They can burn your books. We found hiding places. They can label you conspirators. We know better. Freedom is not in a voting booth, but in our hearts and souls. Congratulations on your 9/11 series. God bless you both. Now, this is very, very important, and we'd like to thank Sonia for her very kind words. But this is very important because we just got our latest edition of the American Free Press today, and there's an article in here by Christopher Bolin where he goes on to say that a lot of the information that originally came out about 9/11 is being erased from the public database. A good example would be when Flight 93 actually landed at a Cleveland airport. This has now been erased from that news source. Also, and this is contained in 9/11 on Trial, there's a very famous quote from a guy named Van Romero that was in the Albuquerque Journal, where he was talking about how this was a controlled demolition. Well, guess what, folks? That's now been erased from the Albuquerque Journal. So, people ask us, why are you doing this trial? Why are you televising it? And quite simply, this is history being made. What you're seeing right now is history. This is a record. And as Sonia said, and many others are doing, people out there are making copies of this. The newspapers, the news media can erase this stuff from their databases. But guess what? This book is always going to be here. The copies that you make out there are always going to be around. And what we have is George Orwell's 1984 come to life, where Winston Smith, his job was to go in there and erase news that they didn't like from the databases. So, folks, this is the only way we're going to keep this information alive is if we source it and we access it, and we are the ones that keep it. So thank you to Sonia and everyone else.
Also, I'd like to thank Nico Haupt for his ongoing efforts to get the gatekeepers in the 9/11 Truth Alliance Internet Group, as well as 911truth.org, as well as the California 9/11 Sandal and Patchouli crowd to address the information in 9/11 on trial. That means you, Carol Brule, get on board.
Now, there's a lot of people out there, if you guys haven't noticed, there's a lot of people in the 9/11 activist movement, and we say that in quotation marks, that are giving absolutely no coverage to not only this television series, but to this book itself. The big question is, why?
Why won't they even acknowledge it?
Right. They're supposed to be the ones that are for truth, 9/11 truth, yet they absolutely refuse to even acknowledge this book as in existence, and this book, more than any other, proves not only that the government was complicit in this, but that their version of events was a lie, and this was a controlled demolition that brought down the World Trade Center towers. Go out there and contact the people at Truth Out and these Truth Alliances. Join up for the groups and say, why aren't you posting this information? Nico Haupt is screaming it from the rooftops, asking them why. And they sit there like frightened little girls because they're not real truth activists. They're nothing but gatekeepers.
Okay, now today we are going to hear from witness number 14, who is going to recount the eyewitness testimony. So let's join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Thank you, Your Honor. Witness number 14, please state your name for the record.
Elodie Geikis.
Okay. Today's testimony will deal with eyewitness testimony, and Ms. Geikis is going to refer to her notes for this. Ms. Geikis, there's been quite a bit of testimony thus far in this trial about a controlled demolition bringing down the World Trade Center towers. Is there any evidence of this from eyewitnesses who were directly on the scene?
Yes. I'll break them down into four categories: reporters, employees, firemen, and others in an official capacity.
Okay, please refer to your notes. We're going to ask you about Pat Dawson, the NBC correspondent. What did Pat Dawson have to say?
He said, the chief of safety of the fire department of New York told me that he thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building. One of the secondary devices, he thinks, that took place after the initial impact was, he thinks, may have been on the plane that crashed into one of the towers. The second device, he thinks, he speculates, was probably planted in the building. So that's what we've been told by Albert Turi, who is the chief of safety for the New York City Fire Department. He told me that just moments ago.
All right, and please refer to the transcript from the Pat Dawson interview now.
He said, the chief of safety of the fire department of New York City told me shortly after 9 o'clock he had roughly 10 alarms, roughly 200 men, trying to effect rescues of some of those civilians who were in there, and that basically he received word of a secondary device, that is, another bomb going off. He tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place. And then, an hour after the first hit there, the first crash that took place, he said there was another explosion that took place in one of the towers here. So obviously, according to his theory, he thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we refer now to the testimony of Steve Evans, the BBC reporter, who was in the South Tower at the time of the attacks. Ms. Gykus?
This is what Steve Evans said. I was in the base of the second tower that was hit. There was an explosion. I didn't think it was an explosion, but the base of the building shook. I felt it shake. Then, when we were outside, the second explosion happened, and then there were a series of explosions. We can only wonder the kind of damage, the kind of human damage which was caused by those explosions, those series of explosions.
We turn now to Fox 5 News of New York City. And what did they have to say, Ms. Gykus?
Shortly after 10 a.m. on September 11th, they videotaped a large white cloud of smoke billowing near the base of the South Tower. The commentator exclaimed, "There is an explosion at the base of the building. White smoke from the building. Something has happened at the base of the building." Then another explosion, another building in the World Trade Complex.
Continuing on, we add the testimony of WLS, radio broadcaster in Chicago, the reporter on the scene at the towers. What did they report?
He reported that his colleague had witnessed an enormous fireball emanating from beneath one of the towers immediately before it came crashing down.
Okay. Now we have Teresa Veliz, the manager for a software development company. What did Ms. Veliz have to say?
She said, the flashlight led us into a Borders bookstore, up an escalator, out to Church Street. There were explosions going off everywhere. I was convinced that there were bombs planted all over the place and someone was sitting at a control panel pushing detonator buttons. I was afraid to go down to Church Street towards Broadway, but I had to do it. I ended up on Vesey Street. There was another explosion, and another. I didn't know which way to run.
Okay, an eyewitness watching from the 22nd floor of a building a couple of blocks from the World Trade Center complex, Ross Milanich, said what?
I saw small explosions on each floor, and after it cleared, all that was left of the buildings, you could see just the steel girders like a triangular sail shape.
Okay, now we go to Auxiliary Fire Lieutenant Paul Isaac Jr. What did Paul Isaac Jr. have to say?
He mentioned when he was telling the reporter Randy Lovello that New York firemen were very upset by what they considered a cover-up in the World Trade Center destruction. Many other firemen knew there were bombs in the buildings, he said, but they were afraid for their jobs to admit it because the higher-ups forbid discussion of this fact. Isaac, who was stationed at Engine 10 near the World Trade Center in the late 1990s, said the higher-ups included the New York Federal District
Fire Department.
New York Fire Department's anti-terrorism consultant, James Woolsey, a former CIA director. There were definitely bombs in those buildings, Isaac added.
Okay, we also have statements from Tom Elliott of Aon Corporation, who, after descending from the 103rd floor before Flight 175 struck the South Tower, said what?
Although its spectacularly televised impact was above Elliott, at first, he and those around him thought an explosion had come from below. an incredible sound, he calls it an exploding sound, shook the building, and a tornado of hot air and smoke and ceiling tiles and bits of drywall came flying up the stairwell. In front of me, the wall split from bottom up, Elliot said.
We also have the statements from Mr. John O'Neill, who was head of World Trade Center security, and he stated this shortly before becoming a victim himself and losing his life on 9/11. What did he say, Ms. Gykus?
He had helped dig out survivors on the 27th floor before the building collapsed. Since the aircraft crashed into the 80th floor, what heavily damaged the 27th?
Okay. We've also seen video testimony of Louis Caccioli, a 51-year-old fireman who was at the scene on 9/11 from Engine 47 in Harlem. What did he tell People Weekly, September 24, 2001?
We were the first ones in the second tower after the plane struck. I was taking firefighters up in the elevator to the 24th floor to get in position to evacuate workers. On the last trip up, a bomb went off. We think there were bombs set in the building.
Other New York City firemen also weighed into this. Fireman number one said what?
Floor by floor, it started popping out.
And fireman two?
It was almost like they had detonators.
Fireman three?
Yes, detonators.
Back to fireman two.
Planted to take the building down. Boom, 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 boom.
Fireman one?
All the way down. I was watching it and running.
Very good, thank you. Mike Pecoraro, a stationary engineer, North Tower, 6th sub-basement, said what?
Climbing to level C of the basement, Pecoraro found a machine shop and its 50-ton hydraulic press both gone, reduced to rubble, he told Chief Engineer magazine. He saw a line of smoke streaming through the air on level C. He climbed to level B, one floor below the North Tower lobby, and saw a steel and concrete fire door that weighed about 300 pounds. He described this door as wrinkled up like a piece of aluminum foil.
We also have the statements from Paul Biggert, a photographer. Go ahead.
What you are seeing in his photos are large numbers of 12-foot sections of perimeter columns flying out ahead of the dust cloud in what is very clearly an explosive event. He got very close to the North Tower just before it fell and captured some amazing pictures of its collapse and of the previous damage from the World Trade Center 2 collapse. What is clear, especially in Biggert's picture, is that the building is turning to dust as, or even before, it falls.
David Hancher also weighs in on this with his statements.
Instinctively, I lifted a camera up and something took over that probably saved my life, and that was to run rather than take pictures. I got down to the end of the block and turned the corner when a wave, a hot, solid black wave of heat threw me down the block. It literally picked me up off my feet and I wound up about a block away. Note, what this witness is describing is known as a shockwave effect. When an explosive goes off, extremely high temperatures are generated in a small amount of time and space. This abrupt shift in temperature causes the air to push outwards with violent force, seeking to stabilize itself.
Thank you. Joe Casaligi, Engine 7 fireman, also had something to say about 9/11.
Casaligi told the filmmakers how he was one of the workers assigned to look for survivors, and while he was foraging through the wreckage, he found that everything, including chairs, electronic equipment, desks, and even the telephones, had been utterly pulverized to dust. Transcript from the movie. You have two 110-story office buildings. You don't find a chair. You don't find a telephone, a computer. The biggest piece of a telephone I found was half a keypad, and it was this big. The buildings collapsed to dust.
Okay. Engine 7 fireman Joe Casaligi's statements can be found in the documentary 9/11 by Jules and Gideon Naudet. All right. Philip Morelli, a construction worker, said to NYI News the following.
When the North Tower was struck, he was thrust to the ground by two explosions in the 4th sub-basement. Somewhat later, another explosion, which made the walls explode, once again hurled him to the ground. Morelli then exited that building and went inside the South Tower sub-basement, where once again he felt the same type of underground explosions.
The producer of Why the Towers Fell, Mr. Larry Klein, recounting the wreckage that he witnessed, said the following. Go ahead.
There was not a discernible piece of furniture anywhere. No computers or books or anything that would identify this massive wreckage field as having once been several million square feet of office space. I didn't need anyone to tell me that the gray-brown matter was the contents and insides of the World Trade Center vaporized by the collapse.
Thank you, Ms. Dykus. Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions for this witness.